Resource Network.
Welcome to the Resource Network. I'm Deborah Davis, your host and the director of the Cincinnati Minority Business Assistance Center. The Resource Network will provide you with information to help launch your business and grow your business. Tune in every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. on WCVG 1320 a.m. to learn more about the business resources in your area. The Resource Network, helping you to scale. Good morning. I'm Deborah Davis, Regional Director of the Minority Business Assistance Center at the African American Chamber of Commerce. We have two guests calling in today. The first guest is Dr. J.C. Baker, who is the founder of J.C. Baker & Associates, a business consulting firm providing management strategy, leadership guidance, training, and innovation strategy for multinational organizations, mid-sized businesses, educational institutions, sports franchises, and public sector organizations. Our second guest is Joshua Reed, who is the founder and president of Influ, an affordable and automated social media marketing tool that helps small businesses and nonprofits save time and money by providing monthly content, strategy, and analytics to increase their engagement and reach more customers. Welcome, Dr. Baker and Joshua Reed, to the Resource Network.
Thank you so much for having us today. I appreciate it.
Well, I just want to let the listeners know that we're changing up the format a little bit. You were on Dr. Baker last week, and you were talking about your organization, your business, the J.C. Baker & Associates business. And one of the people, one of the listeners was Joshua Reed, and he texted me during the show, and he asked a question, which unfortunately I did not see until after the show. And the question was to you, have you ever helped a tech company to scale? And so I thought, well, why don't we have a segment that brings back Dr. Baker, and we can say that the business doctor is in the house to help businesses strategize and figure out how they can scale their business and what's the best approach for them in order to do that. So we're back. We have a new format where we're going to allow Dr. Baker to analyze a company. So the first company we have as our guest is Influ. And Joshua, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. There is a little background noise coming in. So I just want to, if you're not speaking, if you can mute your phone, because you two are calling in and I'm actually in the studio. So if you can mute your phone, if you're not talking, that would be great. So Joshua, last week you texted me and you had a question about scaling tech businesses. So I'm going to turn this over to you and let you explain what your problem is, and then we'll bring in Dr. Baker and you all can have a dialogue about how you can scale your business and some of the strategies that he has for you. Okay, take it away, Joshua.
Yes, absolutely. First and foremost, I want to say thank you for having me on the Resource Network this morning. And thank you, Dr. Baker, for your time as well. So as Ms. Deborah shared, I'm the founder of a digital tech company. We're headquartered downtown Cincinnati, and we are a team of 10. And I feel like some of the challenges we're facing is not unknown or uncommon to a lot of startup tech companies right now in the climate of COVID-19. And a lot of what we were doing was, you know, very driven by billing, presenting, meeting, you know, with Venture Cap, and a lot of great things that were pushing us forward, you know. And then the market slowed down, and I don't think it's a matter of the value that we're bringing. I think it's a matter of the behavior of the potential customers. And so my question was, last Saturday was, you know, what would be some of the tools or some advice or counsel, or maybe you have experience in working with tech companies to be able to continue to push the needle in during the times right now with the pandemic?
Okay, so really good question. And it really depends on a host of factors, because when you talk about a tech company, well, a tech company could mean a few different things. And I'll just use a common example that maybe everyone listening can identify with, is if you company like Peloton, if you will. Peloton is kind of a tech company, but kind of a health and wellness company. And in that case, you have to discern what are you going to leverage during the hybrid. So if I'm understanding correctly, you have a tech component, but you also assist nonprofits. Is that correct?
Yeah, so what we've been able to do is come from a digital and social media marketing agency for about 3 years, and I had issues with scaling because, you know, as an agency, it was very labor intensive, and we managed everything for the client, so we had a cap of how many customers we could actually work with. And that inflection point was automation. So I was able to automate with everything we did as an agency so that we could serve thousands of customers in a matter of minutes. And but again, you know, those customers are small businesses and nonprofits. Our entry point as far as the subscriptions is $75 a month. Our top tier package is $229 a month. And right now in this climate, you know, that $75 or that
We are
down as far as budget.
Joshua, you're dropping out. You're dropping out. I'm not sure what's going on your end, but we missed a lot of what you just said.
Well, I'm just on my phone. Not moving.
Okay. Can you repeat the last part of what you said, because that dropped out?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was saying we service small businesses and nonprofits, and we're priced for both of those industries to be able to afford the services given the value that they receive. So they're actually receiving the value of an agency, which costs $1,000 every month, and for a fraction of that cost. But the challenge has been, you know, a lot of businesses, even though they know they need social media, the value that comes with social media, given that's how we're all communicating right now, they're a little bit hesitant to spend. And so it's made it challenging for anyone who is selling online, just given this current climate. And so being able to continue to scale and reach those customers, it's been a little bit of a challenge with the behavior that is currently going on. That makes sense.
Okay, so I understand and have a really clear picture of the barrier that you're faced with. And a part of what has to be recognized is the value proposition from the onset, meaning what was your product or service created to do, then what are some of the ancillary benefits that can be highlighted during the transition or the adjustment period that would allow them to be able to increase with the current climate. And so let me give some examples of what I'm saying in that. If you were a restaurant, if you will, and you would say, well, you know, we make hamburger, and we're a really good hamburger restaurant, and we want you to come taste our array of hamburgers on our, you know, on our menu. Well, let's say that the shift to veganism is really increasing in a time, and you see a noticeable decline in the people that's going to frequent your hamburger restaurant in a traditional state. Now you have to look at that and say, all right, how do we convert some to be able to handle the ancillary ask? So that might be a black bean burger, that might be a vegetable-based burger, but we know that some people who are vegans do it because of the altruistic standpoint of it. They really want to make sure that sustainability is real, they care about the planet, they care about the animals, and their entire livelihood is vegan. However, there's some people that are doing it for what they would consider to be a health choice, try it, and then 2 months later, they revert back to their original behaviors, which would also allow them to continue to frequent your restaurant. So what am I saying in the tech sector? Is that in the tech sector, there's something that you would have created that said, well, we have been able to scale the communication through our automation in a way that was not duplicated before, and that's a good value proposition for us. However, there's a new pain point. In that new pain point, have you had the chance to ideate to be able to discover a new value proposition for those customers? I'll give you a tech example of that. The company Slack, and I don't know how many listeners are listening that is familiar with Slack, but Slack was created as a video game. And as it was created as a video game, the communication portion of the technology itself became so popular and so effective that now Slack is just a communication tool, and they've been able to scale because of that. It was their ancillary offering that was able to push their company forward. So we would have to analyze all the components of your technology, figure out where the new pain points are amongst your target audience, develop a new target audience inside of that, and then offer that in a meaningful way to where it doesn't hurt your base now to be able to say, I'm going to invest in this even in the midst of the crisis, because my investment in this is going to allow me to grow, you know, twofold, threefold, or even remain sustainable. And so that would be our first look, is to see what are all of the components of the technology that you created. Does that response make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that makes sense. Now, my
so in that case, when you talk about your primary offering, which is being able to push the voices out and automate that, is it possible for you to give me just a secondary offering that your technology may have?
Yes, absolutely. So the first piece is being able to completely automate the finding content, writing the captions, finding the hashtags, tagging the proper individuals in correct formatting, and then actually scheduling to the social media platform for you. So we're sort of a first move advantage into what we do as far as a platform. The other piece that would be beneficial to you, if that's not something you would be looking for, is we have our own analytics platform as well, which in order to create a strategy or optimize a strategy, you got to look at how your social media is performing, and our analytics platform allows you to do that, and so you know where to make those changes. So two different lanes, and then I wouldn't necessarily call it a pivot. I would just say we've added more value as we started doing free weekly webinars on social media training, Google, web development, et cetera. And we're working very closely with Deborah Davis in the MBAC community as well to be able to offer these tools to our customers as well as other businesses that work under organizations. And that's something we wasn't doing in the beginning. We were just a tech platform, and we've been able to reach a larger audience. We've been able to get sales, but the sales are, we have those highs and lows where, okay, you know, 1 week we get a high number of subscriptions, and then the next week, you know, as the COVID-19 continues to get extended, those subscriptions slow down a little bit, and we're just trying to figure out what can we do to keep it on the high level rather than a low level.
Okay, so I hear a couple things there. And so a new problem has emerged to me since you gave me that description, so thank you for that, is that I don't believe that the issue is the value proposition. It's how the value proposition is being articulated amongst your consumer base, and I'll explain why. I would say 85% of my clientele globally, when they initially reach out to us, the top two things that are asked or is articulated as a problem for them is that we need more money or we need better marketing. How do I do those two things? And I always submit to them that neither one of those two things are their problem. They contend that it is, but once I probe longer, provide an assessment, or do a company physical, we always uncover where the root of the problem is. But let's say there is a company out there or a nonprofit organization, and they believe that marketing is a challenge for them, or reaching their base is a challenge. Well, what we know since COVID-19 is if everything has moved digital due to the quarantine, social distancing is a factor, well, how do I get in front of people? Well, I have to get in front of them digitally, so that means that I have to have a strong presence, my messaging has to be strong, my storytelling has to be appropriate, and I have to resonate to that audience that I'm looking to capture. Well, it appears as if your technology, based on what I'm hearing today, allows for that to happen in a more effective way. So there's no way possible if I'm a florist, if I am a restaurant that's a small cafe, or if I'm any kind of a micro business or boutique business, if you will, that's looking to remain sustainable, that I should not have a strategy on how to reach my demographic while we're having this problem here. And I'll give you a great example from a client of ours here that's local, is that they started some curbside servicing, but they also would do a lot of events. Well, their events obviously have been canceled because no one can come to the events. And they don't really understand how to communicate that they can do some of these events remotely and turn some of the experience into a home-based experience that would allow them to be able to interact with their base even amidst the social distancing, and then create a pipeline for business once the ban has been lifted. Well, if they don't know how to get that message to them, and they don't know how to articulate appropriately articulate that message to them, they will not convert them. And if they don't convert them, that opens up and sets the occasion for that customer to be seduced by another business. And that's not what you want. Now you've got this competition that did not exist before that will exist once the ban is up. So what your service provides is a method to make sure that they keep their arms around their clientele base. That is vitally important. So if you cost $75, if you cost $200, if you cost $1,000, well, that's now a benefit if I understand how to use your tool. One thing that we find unique, right, and I was in the automotive business for 7 years, and what we would always know is if a product on a vehicle was not explained right, the consumer would say, well, this feature is stupid. And they'll call it dumb because they don't understand it. Because it's easier for them to say there's no value in that because I don't get it. But just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that the product or the service or the feature is not clever. So that means that there's a philosophical mismatch in the understanding of what's offering and how you are to use it. And so now we have to look at how that message is crafted, how it's being pushed to the target audience, and then have we demonstrated appropriately how they should leverage it in order for them to be able to benefit from it.
That makes sense.
So in that case, when we look at your offerings, it's about taking those offerings, packaging them, and saying this is the campaign for the time. You know, it's no different even in my service, and I'll give you an example of my services, is that immediately once everyone was quarantined, we put out our disaster relief services saying we will help any business around the world for free regarding COVID-19. However, if you call me to talk to me about something that's nothing to do with COVID-19, I'm charging you for that. Well, then what does that then look like? It means that I had to separate my value propositions. And so in this case, you have to make a clear and distinct message to separate your value so people can see when I push this button, I get this tangible thing back. And so we would have to say, okay, how are we doing that as a company? And then do they truly understand how they're going to be able to leverage this to be able to grow their business? Or I wouldn't even say grow in this instance. Sometimes it's just important to tread water until help comes on the way. And right now, a lot of businesses need to at least be able to tread so that they can then grow come the summer or early fall.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. What would be your sort of counsel on, also right now, a lot of organizations or venture capitalists who have the funding to invest for sort of focusing on the companies that are already under their umbrella until COVID-19 has phased out, and hopefully sooner than later, to continue that relationship with those venture capital who are interested, but now we're like, well, we're still interested, but right now we got to kind of put all our resources to the companies who are already in our portfolio. Because I know the things we can
Absolutely. And I want to jump in real quick because I know our time is limited and I want to make sure that Ms. Davis can come back. Is that that answer is true and false simultaneously. And you might say, well, you know, how is it on both sides of the spectrum and they both be correct? Investors are still investing. Venture capitalists are still putting dollars into projects and companies. So our private equity firms, angel investors are. We just successfully took care of 3 rounds of investment in the last 2 weeks globally, in which we're actually wrapping up another version overseas in Thailand next week. Well, the reason why I bring that up is it depends on what you're offering, the strength of what you're offering, and once again, how is that offering articulated? So if anything is missing, meaning what if you don't really know the acquisition cost of your customers? Well, now they're out. Whereas before the crisis, maybe they would have still taken a chance and they would have walked hand in hand with you to figure out that cost. But because of the crisis, they kind of need to know the math up front. And if you have not done those equations or algorithms, now all of a sudden you're not as attractive. So it's not that no one's moving. It's just that if you don't understand the parameters that create interest because of the higher level of scrutiny, the more analysis, and the more due diligence, then you might find yourself on the outside looking in. So that means that you need to go back into the organization and kind of do an inventory, do an audit and say, okay, are there any parameters around what I've created and where I'm trying to go, and then have I buttoned those up? The only problems are most small business owners, startup founders, entrepreneurs are not classically trained in what it is that investors are looking for. Not to mention, investment is still subjective. It's still based on feelings, but then backed up by logical reasoning. And so with that, you've increased the number of variables that are changing the emotions of the investor. But that doesn't mean that their tolerance and appetite doesn't exist for the investment. And so that's what has to be scrutinized, and who your targets are have to be scrutinized, because maybe you had a target list of 20 potential investors. That target list might only be 3, 4, 5 people big now, because other tolerance for risk has been reduced due to the pandemic.
I like that. That makes a lot of sense, too. I like the fact you said it is subjective and backed by logic, so that makes sense.
Well, what will happen is you'll get the belief, especially if anybody out there that's listening has ever tried to fundraise, it can be discouraging because you're going to get so many rejections, or you can be made to feel as if what you have is not adequate. But what we would always say, and I'm a former athlete, so a lot of times, a lot of what I say and a lot of what I think comes from the world of athletics, but we would always say it only takes one. It only takes one team to like you, and then now you can play for 20 more years. Well, in this case, it only takes one investor to like you. Well, what does that mean? That means that you have to check every box possible to make sure that when they're trying to figure out your revenue model is tight, or as tight as it can be. When you look at all the costs and your expenditures, have you included every parameter that would make good logical sense for a company? When you look at your team, is your team well-equipped, or are you a solopreneur? You know, you've got the reality where if I'm an investor and the only person I'm investing in is you, you pull a hamstring or get your heart broken, now my money goes down the drain with you. And we can't have that scenario. So with that, what type of team do you have? How do you fit in the market? What are the substitutes and the complements? There's a host and a litany of realities that you have to be aware of as a business owner to say, before I present this, I better make sure I have these boxes checked.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would love to talk more with you up air because, you know, we've been, I think, in comparison, you know, to start up a small business, we've moved pretty fast. So I'm just trying to figure certain, you know, different lanes out that have approached this. Because we've been able to grow our customer base, continues to bring value. But COVID-19 has posed some challenges in us hitting our metrics sooner than later, just based off of our metrics being built off of pre-COVID-19 and not post. So I would love to talk with you off air to really see if there's ways to work together and figure out how to navigate this sooner than later, because we've been able to, like I said, we haven't had to pivot, but we've actually added more value to our platform and our services and value proposition for our customers. But again, the longer this takes, the more we're going to have to continuously add value and, you know, potentially do a small pivot at some point. But if I can work with you to figure out how to stay ahead of the curve, and again, that strategic inflection point, then I think we'd be much better off.
Okay.
Absolutely. And obviously, I welcome that. And for anybody else that's listening, remember, we are literally offering free disaster relief services. It would be a shame for you to have a business or think about creating a business and you don't call the business hospital. That will absolutely be a shame.
Well, thank you, Dr. Baker. And thank you, Joshua. I'm sorry to cut you off, Joshua. Thank you so much for calling in today, for providing this insight, and Joshua, for you sharing, you know, your business and some of your struggles and challenges that you're having. So I just want to say that if there are businesses out there who are listening, and if you are interested in talking to the business doctor, please call me at 513-475-7151, or you can email me at Deborah. You can email me at Deborah@African-AmericanChamber.com, and I will make sure that you get on the show. We are going to be running this new format for the next couple of weeks, and I want to thank Dr. Baker again for agreeing to do this for me. I think it's a great need out there. So again, if you are interested, please drop me an email at Deborah@African-American.com. Call me at 513-475-7151. And we have a webinar series that is going on until June. We are providing skills for you that you need during this COVID-19 pandemic environment that we're existing in. And Joshua Reed is going to be facilitating those webinars every week. So this coming week, Thursday, April 23rd and April 24th, we have WordPress 101 at 11 a.m. Be there, be involved, and let's take your business to the next level. You've been listening to the Resource Network. Thank you for joining us today. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay well. And we will be back next Saturday at 11 a.m. WCVG 1320 a.m. Thank you for listening to the Resource Network. If you would like additional information about the subjects we covered today, or if you want information about the Minority Business Assistance Center, a program that provides MBE EDGE and VBE certifications, business planning, access to capital, and bonding, as well as business professional training, please call me, Deborah Davis, at 513-751-9900, or visit us at www.mbacsensi.com. Or drop in at the African American Chamber of Commerce, 2303 Gilbert Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio. Program theme music provided by Timeless Recording Studios. Jamil Zion, singer and songwriter, and Chris Turner, producer and chief engineer.